The first reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 20. Now, from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. When they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. From among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Revelation to St. John, chapter 7. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe, because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Revelation chapter 7, verse 17, which we had for our epistle reading. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. It's how God's word, how God himself describes heaven. In heaven, Jesus will be our shepherd. And our loved ones who have died in the faith experience this right now. In the joys of heaven, the good shepherd is with them and he guides them. He leads them to living water and he wipes away every tear from their eyes. It is a wonderful, glorious description of heaven. And joy fills our heart when we trust and we know that this is indeed where our loved ones who have died in the faith are now, and this is what awaits us as well. This morning, the fourth Sunday of Easter, is typically referred to as Good Shepherd Sunday. I am the Good Shepherd, the Lord says. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus declares this in John chapter 10, just a few verses prior to our gospel reading this morning. So yes, Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd in heaven. But Jesus also tells us there in John chapter 10 that he is always the good shepherd. So when he laid down his life for the sake of his sheep, he's the good shepherd. When he rose from the dead and appeared to his disciples several times, he was the good shepherd. And he ascended into heaven and sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to teach us and to guide us and to be with us and comfort us in the gospel. Once again, he's the Good Shepherd. He always has been the Good Shepherd. He is right now, and he will be forever. And Jesus promises not only is he the Good Shepherd, he is our Good Shepherd. From the moment of your conception and birth, he is now right here, and he will be each and every day of our lives for eternity, your Good Shepherd. It's a beautiful image of just how the Lord deals with us. And of course, the Lord gives us this analogy, this name for himself. And there's a reason why I would say most of us probably can recite Psalm 23 from heart by memory. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me, pursue me, come after me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23 sounds an awful lot like Revelation chapter 7, doesn't it? It sure does. The same good shepherd who is there in heaven shepherding the saints is the same good shepherd who shepherds you right here, right now. Holding fast to the Good Shepherd, our hearts then are filled with that heavenly joy even now. Because Jesus is our Good Shepherd now. He cares for us now. He loves us and guides us now. He provides for us both body and soul of all of our needs even now. The Good Shepherd cares and provides and loves even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We fear no evil because he is our Good Shepherd now. And so we rejoice and we are glad. For we are citizens of heaven now. Yet, we still live in a world plagued with sin and death. We are forgiven children of God right now, yet we ourselves remain plagued with sin and eventually death. You see, our old sinful nature, our old sinful flesh, doesn't particularly like being led. It doesn't particularly like being guided or cared for. It wants to do it all itself and not rely upon the Good Shepherd. So rather than remaining safely in the Good Shepherd's flock, we like to look across the aisle. We like to look across on the other side. The grass is always greener, right, on the other side of the fence. And it looks good. It looks green. It looks edible. So even though it would mean trespassing, which of course means going where we are not to go, we are not allowed to go, wandering off where we are forbidden, and straying from God's flock, Christ's flock, we rebelliously go after it. As if somehow we think we know better than our Good Shepherd what's best for us. It's foolishness, but we all do it. You see, whether the sinful flesh likes it or not, we are sheep. Our old sinful flesh might like to think that it's a mighty beast, it's powerful, that it's like a lion. But no, you are a sheep. And apart from Christ, you are a poor, helpless, defenseless sheep. And sheep must be led. Sheep must be guided. They must be cared for and provided for. The only question is, who is doing the leading, the guiding, the providing, the caring? Is it Christ, the Good Shepherd? Is it our own bellies? Is it a hired hand, which Paul has quite a few words to say about in Acts chapter 20, our first reading. Paul warns about these wolves in sheep's clothing, preach false doctrine and lead the disciples away from Christ, speaking twisted things, he says. Or is it something far more sinister that is doing the leading and guiding and caring? Like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, which of course is the devil. So who or what is leading you, guiding you, caring for you? Well, the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life for the sheep, he gives his sheep eternal life. And he promises that they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of his hand. He and the Father are one, and no one and nothing can snatch you away from God the Father's hand either. That is, no one but ourselves. And that's what it was with the Jews who were gathered around Jesus that, for our gospel text, Jesus tells them, I told you that I am the Christ, that I am the Messiah, that I am Jesus the Christ. But you, he says, you do not believe. You do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me that I am the Christ, that I am the Messiah. But you do not believe, he says again. You do not believe because you are not among my sheep. You're not part of the flock. The Jews in our gospel reading turned their back on the Good Shepherd. They refused to believe. They refused to trust. And sadly, in their unbelief, that removed them from the flock of the Lord Jesus. Of course, the Good Shepherd, who is one with the Father, so the Father and the Son both desire this. Neither one of them want this. Of course, we have the image of Christ, the Good Shepherd, going after the leaving the 99 and going after the one, right? He cares for that one. And so he speaks to them. He calls out to them, his sheep. My sheep, he says, hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. So where do we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd today? Where do we get so acclimated with his voice, so recognize his voice to the point that it becomes familiar to us, that we do listen and follow the loving, caring, good shepherd's voice because we know he leads what is best, leads us to what is best to us? Well, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the sacred writings which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Then in verse 16, all scripture, so we have sacred writings, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God, that is the one who is among the good shepherd's sheep, the man of God, may be complete, equipped for every good work. The Good Shepherd's voice is spoken to us in Holy Scripture. And it leads us. It corrects us when we err. It reproofs and it rebukes us when we sin. And it always is training and teaching us what it looks like to be in the Good Shepherd's flock. It's brought into the flock by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, his substitutionary atonement through his death and his resurrection. We now rejoice when we hear his voice. We rejoice in the whole counsel of God, all the words of the Lord. And we hear his voice, we follow where it leads. And we rejoice in what he teaches us and what he commands us. So, in the flock of Jesus Christ, we hallow God's name. And we call upon it when we are in times of trouble and prayer, praise, and giving thanks. We joyfully hear God's word because that's where we hear the voice of our good shepherd. And we gladly hear and hold it sacred and learn it. We gratefully honor, serve and obey, love and cherish our parents, not just on Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, not just on Mother's Day, but always. We are always loving and honoring our parents and other authorities. And we willingly desire to lead a sexually pure and decent life in what we say and do. Husbands and wives, love and honor each other. See the spouse that God has given to you as the pure gift that it truly is. We eagerly help one another to improve our possessions and our income. We happily speak well of others. We defend them, and we explain everything in the kindest possible way. We are content, even so content with what God has given to us that we can even rejoice in the gifts that God has given to other people, celebrating with them, and be of service to them in keeping it. Of course, those are the Ten Commandments, right? And this is how the Good Shepherd guides us and leads us. When we fail at those commandments, of course we do, and when we sin, it drives us to the cross where we receive the forgiveness that Christ won for us. And then we are taught to live as members of Christ's flock. And we hear his voice. And we then turn around and love one another with that same wondrous voice and word. The Good Shepherd shed his blood to purchase you and to win you back and to bring you back into his fold, into his flock. He laid down his life to redeem you, to bring you in. He became the ultimate sacrifice to take the punishment for your sins. He laid down his life to give you eternal life. And because of Christ, nothing in all of creation can snatch you out of his hand, out of the Father's hand. It is finished, Christ says. You are forgiven. You are baptized and brought safely into my flock. By God's grace, the Good Shepherd continues to keep you in his flock as he continues to speak his word to you. He continues to lead you and guide you and care for you. And you continue to hear his voice and follow where that loving voice leads, trusting that he knows best. What is best for us and what is pleasing to him. As together, we look forward to that day. We look forward to the day when we too will be gathered around the throne room of God, and the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be shepherding us, guiding us to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. For Christ is our good shepherd. He always has been. He is now, and he always will be. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.